We all know there's plenty of ghosts in society, but the scariest of all the ghosts are the ghosts that run the shadow government. You've tuned into Ghostly Talk. I'm Michael Trudeau from Colonial Resources.
Go to ADVUnderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
Excited about this.
I know I am.
Back in like 1923,
it was just about that time.
It was right around that time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we went to this place and we hung out there and we did all kinds of fun stuff. It was great. All right, so anyways, moving on to that, we met this gentleman. We met this gentleman. Sorry about that, Dr. Ken. We met this gentleman who actually gave who gave this bit of a seminar on all types of things. And it left a big impression on us. Okay, I'll take care of it, Doug. You're making me feel horrible now. Dr. Ken?
He's hung
back
up.
Back in
1923? Well, no, okay.
Something like that. It was in our early years of Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, it was in our early years, and
we were precious newbies.
Well, we sat down and listened to you speak, Dr. Ken.
We did.
We attended
one of your seminars,
mm-hmm.
and I have to say, I was absolutely enthralled.
Well, thanks. I'm glad it made an impact.
Yeah.
You did. You made me think.
Well, there's a lot of things that were driven to home, because we were still very, you know, like as far as really getting out there, getting our hands dirty and stuff like that, we were still new to that. And you really, like, drove a lot of things to home for us. Like, you know, even in my infancy of really, you know, going out there and doing a lot of paranormal investigating of sorts, I was starting to get this impression of when somebody takes a picture, you know, could that circular thing in the picture maybe just be a piece of dust, maybe? Or could that maybe be, you know, a flare, something coming into the frame? Could maybe not be a ghost.
Spirit.
Yeah, a ghost, right?
Yeah.
Especially when I've seen pictures there, there's like thousands of these things in there. I'm like, because if that's the case, then there's something really wild going on that we don't know about, right? And it seems like it would have been acknowledged a long time ago. When we sat down and listened to you speak this night, you really drove a lot of these points home to us, as far as explaining spirit photography in a high level, because we only had like an hour to talk about it. But you really drove a lot of these things home. Also, I actually had my digital camera there that night, and you probably would have just taken the whole thing away from me, thrown it in the trash. You actually had a 35mm camera that you said, take this and use it, okay? Take this camera, and I don't want you using that digital camera. I think this may be a good place to start.
That was our first experience. Let's talk about it.
I really want people to, because we never really talked that deeply about digital.
What do you really think about digital cameras? Don't hold back.
Didn't I smack you?
Numerous times.
Yeah, several times. So we were wondering what you really thought of digital cameras.
Oh, yeah. Is there like a 10-second delay so the editor can...
We'll have to put one in, yeah.
Okay, you might have to, or at least put a warning on the article.
On the
We've done that before, don't worry. That's okay.
Digital, they've only become so popular because they're so easy. And because they get things, but people aren't willing to look for what those things actually are. Mm-hmm. All they want is trophies, basically. And a digital camera is going to give it to you because of the way they're made and because of image sensors and things like that. But now they're saying, oh, okay, well, that just happened with the older ones. But now the newer ones, the 6.0s or higher, they won't give you these orbs. Well, yes, they will. Same thing, because we just added kind of like a little supplemental add-on to the orb controversy page,
mm-hmm.
where we did get some pretty decent orbs, and if you look real hard, you might make out a smiley face in it with a 6-point megapixel digital.
Well, I think what they're saying is that some cameras have the CMOS image mm-hmm. reception thing, and some have a CCD or something. And so they're talking about different ways that the camera can see whatever it needs to digitize,
mm-hmm.
and they're having different mechanisms. So both of these new mechanisms, well, one's new, one's old,
mm-hmm.
are equally as well, not equally, but they are both susceptible to the dust.
Absolutely.
Thing. Okay.
Well,
because you're still going to get the reflection off of the flash, and that's how digital cameras work. They reflect light. And anything that the flash reflects off of is going to be captured in the image.
Now, you said you guys had some new pictures up on your website, which we'll throw that out there. If you want to check out Dr. Ken's website, it's www.OhioGHS.net. You said you guys had some photos up there, and these were from 6-megapixel digital cameras, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's on the Orbs Controversy page, and it's sort of like toward the bottom. That's where the new stuff is.
You know, and I think you made the best point just to start off with digital cameras. It is. I remember when we first started, I was using a straight 35mm camera, Dr. Ken. And, yeah, we went on our first ghost hunt, and I shot the pictures, and then I had to go over to the photo development place, and I'm too cheap to pay for, like, our development, so I had to wait, like, 14 days or whatever to get them back. That's kind of a pain when you're trying to research this stuff. Digital cameras, obviously, we've said it before, you know, you can see right on site, you know, what you shot, what picture you took. It's very convenient. It's also a lot cheaper in the long run to process your photos and whatnot. But as far, and there are a lot of things like we've mentioned just so far that, you know, as far as, and the big thing I think is this light reflection where, and if I, God, this is like trying to think back 3 years ago, but this light reflection aspect when it, if it sees, especially when you're shooting in the dark too, I think. A lot of what we do, we shoot in the dark. So the camera's going, oh, what do I do? What do I do? I can't see anything. So it starts to compensate for a lot of things. And that's where you start getting these, I've noticed like these little rainbow flickers sometimes in a picture where I've seen. And I think that more or less maybe just be light reflection of some sorts. Especially in dusty areas though, I keep saying there's a lot of, well, there's a name for them. They're called dust orbs. You see them a lot. We see dust orbs a lot. And I mean, I don't think we're here to slack anybody as far as people out there working on stuff like that. Just be aware of this thing, right? That's really important. We got into this orb controversy though, when you spoke to us, Dr. Ken. And as far as orbs are concerned, I don't remember exactly how we got in, you know, how you described it, but you did describe the difference between something that may be more anomalous in nature and more or less just a piece of dust or something else. What was the description as far as the two went?
Okay, I changed my tune on that.
Okay, all right, well.
And I admitted my mistake because, hey, live and learn. You know, learn by your own mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
That no matter what you do, no matter what kind of, you know, powder or salt or sugar or anything you want to throw up into the air, it's going to come out an orb.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, a bug, you know, anything. Anything that light is going to reflect off of is going to come out an orb.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of blew off that whole orb thing altogether anymore.
Well, I know there was the one thing and you said you've changed your opinion kind of on that. The one thing I remember you saying, and this may you tell me if this is part of what you, as far as your opinion has changed, the very bright type of circular objects that are more or less perfectly circular, that seem to be that as far as the brightness intensity towards the center, those were things you said that you may look at and go, okay, this may be something that you might want to keep. Is that something? Is that included with the things that you've changed as far as your opinions go?
Well, this is what I found out.
Mm-hmm.
The brighter the orb, the closer it was to the camera.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, and the dimmer, the smaller, the farther away it was.
And that goes for 35mm and digital, am I correct? Or we're just talking 35mm here, or whatever.
It goes for anything.
It goes for anything, then.
Yep.
Well, okay. what about people? People capture. Okay, so we're gonna say orbs are out, right? They have been
orbs
put
are out.
Then the next best thing would be a vortex, right? These are these whooshy type things that people capture.
And no, they're not a camera strap. Okay?
And I mean a vortex, not a camera strap, because I've seen plenty of camera straps on the internet.
Okay, I have yet to see a photo of a genuine vortex.
Okay. Have you ever experienced a vortex? I mean,
I've seen one. I've only seen one, but I was too busy going to remember I had a camera in my hand.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, and as quick as it came, and as quick as it went, and you know there was no lightning and thunder and monsters crawling out of it. It was just quiet.
Well, what I mean, as far as that experience goes, where that I mean, you said it was very quick though, right? What did you see, if we may ask?
It was just a little blurry blob.
And it was
that's the best way I could describe it. It was just a little blur in space there. I mean, it wasn't a white tornado or anything like that.
Well, what people when I think of vortex, you know, as far as the pictures I've seen, I think of more of like a, you know, how would you say, like a band type object. But a lot of times I'm
sneaky looking thing, but one that hopefully does not go from one corner of the camera to the other.
Or yeah, across, yeah, exactly. This you said this was more like just like kind of a blob or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a little circular hole. That was it.
So was,
I tried to make one like in my Photoshop as close as I can get to it. Mm-hmm. That's about as best as I can come up with.
Mm-hmm. And it was more of a blob type thing, like a circular type of blob thing. Well, wouldn't that be? Well, I don't want to use the old word again.
Was it colorless or was it?
Just a blur.
A blur. A blur.
Just a blur. Just a little blurry spot. That was it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. What do you think causes that? I mean, obviously it doesn't happen very often, but what do you think, that's more of an atmospheric thing, or could it be more of a ghost-type thing?
It could be. It could be, like, some kind of atmospheric thing. It could be an eyeball floater, as far as I'm, you know, as far as I know, but I don't really see, like, these vortexes and portals and things, you know, just opening right in front of people all the time.
Well, yeah.
You know, so they got to be extremely rare.
Well, as a vortex is, like you said, Doug, I mean, as far as that particular thing goes, it seems as if, you know, and the more we research this stuff, it seems like and I'll even include the O word into these, too. It seems, you know, the more you get into it, the more I see the classifications that have been laid down, the loose classifications, I might add, too, that have been laid down. It seems like the areas are getting more and more gray, though, too. Like, you just explained this type of vortex, like, you know, as far as a name goes, right? I'm thinking, okay, it's a circular object, so my brain's thinking, oh, it's an orb, Scott. It's an orb. Maybe it's an orb. Or you said it's more of a blobby type of object, so maybe it could be some type of mist, like we've talked about, these mists that people sometimes see. Or
get. Oh, yeah. What are these mist photos? Because I don't get them very often. I only got a mist once, I think, or twice. But what?
Oh, my God. The ever-dreaded ecto.
Yeah.
Ever-dreaded ecto.
And this is something else you discussed with
us,
too.
But I've seen photos on the Internet, and I know that I was with Will one day, and he was using my camera, and he got mists. And I'm just not good at getting them. And I'm just wondering what causes those, then.
I've also found, okay, you know, because when I was at the prison, you know, people have sent me pictures of, like, fog, you know, and it was during the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, you know how hot it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, okay, so why? Okay, what's going to cause this? Okay, rule number one: find the explanation first.
Oh yeah.
So during the next time, I just kind of followed people around and just kind of watched them and just observed how they were just doing things and whatever. And what I've noticed was when people were carrying their cameras, they were carrying them by the face. And, you know, with their hand over the lens.
Ah.
Okay.
So you're walking around and you got that angst going on and your palms are sweaty. And, okay, so let's try that for a while. So
yeah.
I did it too, and I got the same picture they did.
So you're talking more like perspiration, it could be. Or
well,
some
that
not necessarily
be,
on the lens itself, I don't think.
No,
right?
But it would be that your hands are moisturous. You know, they have moisture in them, and you're, of course, generating more moisture. And what is fog but moisture dissipating into the air?
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's a localized fog.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so you're holding the camera by the face. You know, like Dr. Ken said, you know, you're in the area. You're kind of excited. There's angst going on, and all of a sudden somebody goes, "Oh my God!" Oh, maybe you have a resident psychic on board there. So they're like, "Shoot a picture over in that corner right now. I'm feeling something." Right. So you grab your camera, you throw it up to your face, and you shoot the picture. Now we're talking about this localized moisture type thing. Okay.
From your breath, your hand.
Your breath, your hand.
You are mostly water, after all.
So it could be not just holding it from the front of the camera. It could be just generally, you know, especially in the summertime, like you said, Dr. Ken, there is that heat you're still kicking out where you may not see it with your naked eye, but the camera may pick it up with the flash of some sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I somewhere, am I even close to that?
Pretty much, yeah.
So,
yeah, pretty much, because even though if you have, like, if you're holding the camera, you know, by the face, and a lot of people are going to go, "Oh, no, I don't." Well, think about it. Yes, you do. if you're holding it and the lens does fog up from your hand, from the time you pick it up to your face, it's going to start to evaporate. So that so there's only going to be just a little bit on the lens, like in a corner, in a spot, like toward the center, and that's what's going to be captured on the image.
That's a new one.
So is there any way, is there no ectoplasm in the universe, or is there some we just can't take pictures?
Ectoplasm does not exist. Where were you when you first heard the word ectoplasm?
I know the answer to this more or less.
Did you cheat?
Who are you gonna call?
No, I didn't cheat. No, I listened to Dr. Ken speak. If I remember correctly, well, actually, you asked the question where we're. Well, of course, we saw the big G word, parts 1 and 2. Okay, that's I'm with you on that. But at the same time, you were the first person I heard that said that ectoplasm. This idea of ectoplasm, where you see a lot of this in these older medium photos where they have these sessions. We've talked about this before. And you have these people that are like, and I think I'm not trying to make fun of it, but some of these people look like they're totally out of it. Like they are just stoned out of their mind, right? And they're stuck. What's that?
They probably were.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden there's like some stuff leaking out of their ear, or there's some stuff leaking out of their nose or their mouth or something like that. One of their orifices is on their head, right? And that's been referred to as ectoplasm, right? What you said, Dr. Ken, which only explains maybe for the mouth or nose orifice, is that this was cheesecloth, actually. Am I correct? Yeah.
In a lot of the cases, that's what happened.
It was cheesecloth.
Yeah, that was the trick of the trade.
People would ingest cheesecloth, and they would actually regurgitate it during the session or whatnot to give the effect. And then, okay, that's ectoplasm. There you go. That's proof right there. Miller time. Let's go home. That's basically what this particular type. But this, I know people refer to these mists we've talked about a second ago as ectoplasmic mists, and I've always kind of said, okay, wait a minute. Now
it doesn't look like ectoplasm. But it is a mist.
Uh huh. Well, we've also talked to people. I mean, for example, Mick and Sylvia Avery, who've been on the show,
mm-hmm.
and we actually got into a conversation about ectoplasm. And as far as how it's used, it's more or less used to create a voice box of some, in one application, that it's used to create a voice box that if a medium wants to channel a particular spirit or person, that's what they use. To more or less try to create their own voice.
But even according to them, it doesn't exist here on our side.
It only exists on the other side,
right?
Theoretically,
it's on the other side.
Hey, now
you wouldn't be able to take a picture of it, even if you were there and had a camera and it was flashing pictures. It's just it's physically not here on our side.
So
so how do they know it exists then?
Well, they were told. I mean, they get their information from Gregory.
Gregory, yeah.
Who is an absolutely entertaining and enchanting and very, very thinking personality. Mick channels.
Yeah, what Sam said so.
I was going to say, I have a feeling Dr. Ken has a really big smile on his face right now.
But do you remember? Well, the thing is, Dr. Ken, I remember when we sat down to do the first show with Mick and Sylvie, and he started channeling Gregory, and I have to admit, at first, I thought it was just absolutely crazy. I was holding my head in my hand, right, mm-hmm. and going, oh, that's it, I'm done,
Yeah.
However, this entity, I'm not passing judgment. I'm not saying that, Gregory is everything he appears to be or says he is, and I'm not saying that Mick and Sylvie, aren't like it's not some personality within them. I don't know what Gregory is, but I do know that person or that entity, that thing, whether no matter what he is, is first of all extremely charming. Very talkative, and makes me think.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whether it's part of Mick or part of Sylvie or an entity from England, who lived in the 1700s, who channels through him, no matter what he is, I find Gregory to be absolutely fascinating. So
I know we got into that pretty deep with Gregory, that spirit can that was channeled, and that's we did discuss this whole idea of ecto. We're like, well, okay, look, we've heard all these different opinions. What is ectoplasm? And he did go in great detail to explain that it's used as what they refer to as an ectoplasmic trumpet in the throat. That would be used to change the voice so this person could actually speak through that. I know it's pretty out there, and I don't know what you think about that, Ken. I mean, well, honestly, I'd like to know what you think about that, Ken.
Well, right now I'm thinking paranormal loogie.
That's a good place to take a break at, I think.
I think it's a good
paranormal
idea.
Paranormal loogie, definitely.
Paranormal loogie, when you hear, that's the magic words. No,
you win the prize if you call in right now.
It turns out it is 8:29. We do have to take a quick break.
We'll
be back with more, and we have questions for you in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Ken.
Because you've caused a little bit of a stir on the website.
Yeah, everything. So we have some questions for you. And,
Dr. Ken, like I told you earlier, this is a friend. We're having a good time here, though, and we're discussing things. That's all it's going to be. So we're going to have a good time.
Yes.
We're going to answer some questions after we take this break.
From Ghost Hunters. You might want to check out the Taps Power Magazine at tapspowermagazine.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
the Bell Witch website, www.bellwitch.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
If it's too loud, you're too old.
They're taking bets in the chat room as to who that band was.
Oh, what bets?
Right now, it mostly points to Kiss.
Kiss?
I don't know.
Kiss was a garage band, man. Come on.
No.
That was a finely tuned piece of audio destruction right there.
That certainly was.
And I liked it myself because I like destructive music. What was that band, Will?
Self-Destructed Dream.
Those kids got it. I like those guys, man. I'm going to have to get a hold of them. We played a few other things. I'm going to put them all up on the website.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the independent bands
that
make our breaks what they are.
Usually loud and
loud
scary.
Loud and obnoxious and absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, they're just beautiful. Just dripping with goodness.
Yeah, it's all independent bands here on Ghostly Talk, and I'd like to thank
them. Thanks a lot. We always put them up on the website after the show. We always make sure those guys, you can check out their website, possibly get more music, buy their CD, all that fun stuff. We are...
They have a CD.
What's that?
They have a CD.
Yeah,
some of them.
A lot of them do. A lot of these guys do.
A lot of them do. Yeah.
Well, you know, really quick, you know, with the dawn. Well, not the dawn, but with the way things are going on the internet, a lot of bands they really. I think a lot of bands now, they're not really putting a lot of time into putting out that physical product. They record their stuff, they put it up for people to download, and I think that's really cool to see a lot of bands do that. Check our music out, you know. I think it's really important, and it's a lot of fun, and a lot of these bands like to send their stuff over for us to play here, too. So thanks, guys. We appreciate that. Dr. Ken...
What's the name of that band again?
That was
Self-Destructed Dream. They're on MySpace. They're out of Indiana.
I'll send you the link, Dan.
From Rock Hard, Indiana.
Rock Hard, Indiana.
Speaking of Indiana, Sean's in the chat.
Oh, hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
We were talking on break about, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but we were talking about a gentleman who a lot of know and love. I don't know if all you guys know and love, but Jose Escamilla. He came up, and if you know Jose Escamilla, you know that he is...
Poppy knows Jose Escamilla.
Well, yeah.
Poppy in the chat room is asking about, what does Dr. Ken think about rods? You know, those are streaks. They're usually cylindrical looking, and people capture them usually on high speed film. And we've been talking a lot about pictures and picture taking. So, Dr. Ken, what do you think of rods?
Well, I've seen a lot of things like on the TV shows, you know, about the rods and things. And if you notice, most of the captures are outside.
Yes.
Can we say bugs?
I think we mentioned that when we were on break.
We did
too.
Mention that on break. Because
if you notice, as they're zipping around, you know, they're elongated, but when they stop, they go back to being short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take off and they elongate again.
Well, yeah, right. And that's what I've noticed too.
And I have to say, I do have photos that I've taken outside in cemeteries and haunted outside places other than cemeteries of what you could only describe as being, and Dr. Ken, you mentioned the word, so I'm bringing it up, pixies. And sure enough, these things look like little people or things, right?
They're the pixies.
With wings.
I am the pixies.
Gorgeous little wings. And the only thing is I know that there wasn't a pixie there when I took the photo. So it's a bug, you know, and I know that that's a bug.
Lake, right?
What's that?
Yes. We're in Michigan, Great Lakes, you know. So
yeah, I'm right by Cleveland, and we get muckleheads all the time, or Canadian soldiers, or midges, or whatever you want to call them. And yeah, they have little legs and little arms and little wings and things like that.
Yeah, and that's what they look like. Yeah. They look like little pixies, and
it's a cool picture, but you know.
It's a cool picture, but yes, I do know. Yeah. I know that is not a little magical being from Ireland, you know? It's not. It's
no, you're not going to have three wishes. No, you're not going to find the rainbow or the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or anything like that. I mean, I have limited research on rods. I have listened to Jose Escamilla talk about them a lot, and there's a lot of different stories out there as far as the research and stuff like that goes. I know there was actually, if I'm correct, there was an actual episode of Proof Positive I don't know if I'm correct on that or not. And they actually went in and they researched the rod phenomena,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it came up proof negative too.
I don't know.
So
we'd have to go back.
We'd have to go back and look at that. But it has been publicized. There's. I'm sorry, Ken. What was that, Dr. Ken? oh. Excellent point. Thank you.
That's a concurrence if I ever
Thank
heard
you
one.
So much. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. We were talking, though, also. Well, go ahead, Doug.
I want to talk about that video. Dr. Ken, you put up this video that froze the blood in its what is it, in veins or arteries or whatever?
It froze
in my body for a split second. And I saw this video
mm-hmm.
and was absolutely completely shocked. Can you tell us about this video? How did you come up with this? Or you didn't come up with it.
How'd you produce this video?
How
we put out a casting call. Haley Joel, what's his name? And,
Oh man, is he looking? He's got really long hair now. He looks like a like rocker or something.
Who?
Haley Joel Osment.
I have no idea who that is.
The I See Dead People kid.
Oh, okay. All right.
Man, now.
Yeah.
Kind of scary. It makes me feel old. Yeah. But okay. So
I heard he turned 18, but he's still getting rolled as 8-year old.
That's how they do that forever in Hollywood. Makeup departments are wonderful. So this video, though, the story's on the website at ohiogs.net. Is it com or
No, it's ohiogs.net.
.net, okay. Ohiogs.net. There's in the video section, you scroll down to the bottom, there's this video. I literally froze. I goosebumps and everything. And how did you get a hold of this? Why did someone give it to you? What happened?
A friend of mine came to me and said, hey, my father-in-law has this video that he got from a friend who got from a friend. I said, okay, well, bring it in. You know, what's the story? He says, well, this guy was a guy and his wife were looking to buy a house, and the wife had to work on the day that they had the appointment to go see it. So the guy took his video camera so he could, show his wife later. And so he's just going around the house, and that's not all of the video. I cut off, like, the first 5 minutes of it, the first space size. And he's walking through one room. It's a nice house, He's walking through one room, and then he opens up that, I guess you want to call it a basement door because it's all dark.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of panned, from one side to the next and closed the door and left. That was it. So then when they were watching the video later on that night, they both went, oh, what was that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I did.
Well,
yeah, so.
he was just taping this. I had to step up for 1 second, but he was just taping this because, for his wife.
To show his wife, because
she couldn't make
it.
And it's exactly what gets me is it's exactly what you would expect. Panning around, looking at this, looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you would expect in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was mad when I first saw it because, this guy got by accident what I've been trying to get for years.
Exactly.
Well, that's how it usually happens, I think, too.
And what appears in the video?
As the guy's panning, panning the camera, he's just, showing the basement, and there's this little being standing there, but the camera just kind of sweeps past it, and you get to see the water tank for a few seconds, and then he comes back the other side, and all you see is, a little foot going around the corner. After, I picked up my tongue, going, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
I played it back again, and I'm going frame by frame by frame by frame by frame, and I'm going, wait a minute, this guy has a shadow. Huh. So I have a nitpick, and I tried to enhance that even more because what's on the website there is the enhanced version. Because
mm-hmm.
The guy that took the video, probably shouldn't say it, but he's a federal agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave it to a cop friend of his who took it to their lab and enhanced it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they brightened it up, try to get more of the image. That's why it's in black and white. For the most part, because in any enhancement process, you're going to get color drain and gamma increase and things like that, which is going to take the color out of it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So then his buddy is going, "What the hell was that?" So they burned it on a CD, and the buddy that enhanced it sent it to another cop friend of his, who happened to be friend's father, and he says, get this to Kenny quick. You know, let me know what he let me know what he thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody that's watched it, you know, also, you know, somebody else peed in their pants. So, you know, I can't explain it, so come to your own conclusions, you know. The thing, the guy didn't see it when it was, when he first videotaped it, and that's, what you see is what I got.
Mm-hmm.
What would cause a ghost, assuming this is a ghost, what would cause a ghost to throw a shadow?
That's my question.
Because right.
They're supposed to be, like, translucent.
Right, well, that's what...
throw shadows.
Every single time I think of a ghost, I think of, you know, like this, you know, and see-through and everything. I have to say, though, the one ghost I ever saw looked as real as
it looked solid.
It was solid-looking,
mm-hmm.
but...
Because
I almost ran over a ghost, and I thought it was this guy, and I was going to hit him, so I stopped the car abruptly, much to Scott L's dismay.
Yeah.
And, because he didn't know that I had seen this guy going to hit him with the car, and because he didn't see the guy, and I stopped, but the guy wasn't there, because he was not corporeal.
There.
You know,
he wasn't
not there.
There,
yeah. And... So the one ghost I saw looked like as real as anybody else, but I didn't, like, it, you know, that all happened within a split second, and it wasn't on film. It was, you know, during the course of driving, so I don't, you know, I couldn't analyze any, you know, shadows or anything. I didn't know if he was throwing a shadow, but I was wondering, you know, this being, which to me looks like a kid, right, does throw a shadow, and it is walking out of the frame behind a wall or something.
Well, could, I mean, I'm sure this has been said, Dr. Ken. I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times. I don't know what was going on in this house. I don't know if the house was completely empty. Because I know, I think it was mentioned on our website. Couldn't it have just possibly been? Because you said, we've all agreed that this thing does throw a shadow off. I mean, just to say on both sides of this thing, could it have possibly been a kid who snuck into that basement possibly, and he just got caught, and he just snuck around the corner just to get out of the way of a camera that he saw or something like that?
No, it could have been, but you would think if a little kid got busted, he would, like, panic and bolt.
Well, yeah.
You know, instead of walking away slowly.
And that's what, you're right, that's what he does.
And okay, if you can freeze it on that little kid, look at the way he's dressed. He looks like one of the little rascals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It also occurs to me, and this is the thing that I have with it, is if the fellow who was taking the video was, you know, he was physically there, and he's taking this video, and I think that people do indeed detect, especially if you're trained to be an observer and control a situation, such as, you know, somebody in a public, you know, service kind of thing going on there, that he would have perceived the peripheral movement.
Or even if it is dark, okay, there's another thing. Even if it is dark, what your eyeballs are going to perceive a little bit clearer than what, like, a regular video camera without an external light is going to pick up.
Right.
Right, so he should have been able to see that.
I think if I were faced with that, I would have probably zeroed in on it and scared, you know, because it's so obvious on the film, but obviously it wasn't obvious when he was taking
it. When he was taping it, yeah.
When, you know, when he was actually taking the video. Mm-hmm. So that I can't put that together. Why would this guy make up a story? Is there any reason? Or was he absolutely as flabbergasted as all of us are?
No, I'm sure he was, and I don't see any reason why he would do that, because, I mean, the guy wouldn't know me. You know, he wouldn't know who to send it to me.
Mm.
Right.
You know, he doesn't know that, and plus, the chain of, okay, the path of the video, rather, is we're trying to get that guy to get us into that house.
Mm-hmm. Did he buy the house?
No, he did. Oh, no.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. His wife's probably like, oh, no, not that house, no.
Yeah, I think that may have been a wise decision, possibly, for them not to buy the house. It's a really interesting video. I mean, we've all seen it here, and Doug, you were the one. I didn't know that. I never look at
it was me.
Stuff, but it was you.
It was me. I started it, and I was so intrigued that I had to start that thread, and I'm still intrigued by it, even after hearing more explanation. It just floors me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about it more, definitely. It really is an interesting video. And the kid does look like you. You mentioned that it's kind of funny, but at the same time, Dr. Ken, the video, the kid, he's like wearing those, like, what do they call them, short pants or something like that? Not short pants, but like they are kind of like those little rascalist. Overall shorts. Overall shorts, you know. He does, the split second you see that kid, you do see that, and he does have those type of, like you said, Dr. Kenny, he's dressed like the little rascals, kind of. It's a really interesting video. It's a really cool video. I mean, you can get, if you want, people that are listening, you can go to OhioGHS.net and download that video and check it out for yourself. And then, you know, post up there, let Dr. Ken know what you think. Or I think the link's up on our site, too. You can check it out there if you want.
I put it in the forums.
Yeah, there you go. You can comment on that if you want also.
I want to talk about it, yeah.
Dr. Ken, how many years have you had doing this sort of thing? I'm just curious. I know you mentioned it before, but I'm wondering, how many years have you been doing this sort of thing?
I kind of got serious about it back in 79.
Wow. That's like 4 years old for me.
The year I was born.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Not
me.
Not trying to date
not
you
me.
Anything
I
like
was...
that, Dr. Ken.
I was 13.
You were 13. Yeah. You were a young strapping lad.
I had already checked out my book on witchcraft from the elementary school, so I was already into the paranormal. Mm-hmm. But I was not out and about ghost hunting at the time.
Well, one thing I like to ask people that have had as much, you know, experience as you have, Dr. Ken, is what do you think about the present time right now as far as, like, you know, nowadays there's a lot of media being focused on the paranormal now. There's a lot of shows out there. There's just a lot of...
There was a Haunted or something marathon last night. I watched all day.
Oh, wow, okay.
All day on, I don't know, one of them cable channels.
One of them stations, yeah.
Amazing.
What do you think about all the media attention that's being put on the paranormal now? I mean, what is your opinion on that?
It became trendy all of a sudden, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's
one. And I want to thank the internet for that, because you know back 20 years ago it was like a taboo subject.
Exactly.
You wanted to talk about ghosts or I want to look for ghosts or I'm a ghost hunter or something like that. People looked at you like, you know, get the straight jacket, you know, or oh my God, you're a devil worshiper. You know, no, but.
I think that still happens nowadays. I mean, it's a smaller degree. I've been saying, like you just said the word, it is not nearly as taboo as it used to be 15, 20 years ago. I think that's a good thing as far as people getting out there and discussing these sort of things now, as far as open discussion and stuff like that goes. As far as trendy things go, there is that degree where I think there's a lot of people that have watched one of the shows on TV and said, hey, I can go out and do that thing. And they may not find, like we tell people all the time, listen, this is not as exciting as TV lends it to be. It can be kind of boring sometimes. It isn't always the most fun thing to do. So if you're not, you know, I always use the analogy, you know, like skulls coming out of walls and stuff like that. That does not happen. If it does, let me know where it's at. I mean, I want to check it out, right? But, I mean, from my experience, I know Doug's experience and Will's experience, we really haven't seen anything quite that exciting. And that people go out on one investigation, they find it isn't nearly as exciting as they made it out to be or they thought it would be, and then that's it. That's pretty much the end of it right there for them. I think that's what you mean by the trendy aspect of what's going on now.
Right. Right. I had a news crew following me one time, and we set up everything, and I got all my, you know, I got my video camera set up, and their camera guy, he was getting all anxious, and I just kind of sat in the corner and said, okay, now for the exciting part. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what did you expect? You know, and he was talking about, yeah, you know, we're going to see, you know, blood dripping out of the walls and skeletons rattling chains. No.
it don't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
It's become quite a pattern now for us every week to tell people that, too. Like, look, it isn't that crazy. It isn't that exciting. Not that it isn't an exciting thing to do. I mean, I know... for the degree of sitting you do sometimes, and the just the lack of motion on occasion, it still is an amazing thing to do, I think, you know.
I want to ask a couple questions.
Sure,
because we've got, what, 6 minutes?
Oh, God,
it's,
yeah, we've
it's
been
terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ken, this will be, what, association game of some kind.
Okay.
Gore Orphanage, Kids Hanging from Trees.
Urban legend, and I bet you I'm responsible for half of those stories because I used to hang out down there when I was a high school hoodlum.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Interesting. Well, I'm impressed because that's a legend that really, really does. It's another legend that really gets my goat because I'm like, ooh, I'd love to be there because it just paints this picture of, you know, the kids and the trees calling to you or whatever. And I'm just like, ooh,
yeah,
that's creepy.
And sometimes the screaming children that, you know, people say they hear are semi-tires on the groove surface of the bridge going across the valley on the turnpike.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that because I know that makes a different noise than and you can audibly hear the pitch when you go over that. Elmore Rider.
Been there, done that. It's a submarine race. It's a road full of kids drinking beer and beeping their horn.
Hey, wow.
We went with like 3 different bridges. We weren't sure if we were at the right place.
Right, we couldn't figure out which bridge, but...
Well, it's not even a bridge, it's a culvert.
It's a culvert, okay.
Yes, I want to know where that one guy that wrote that big fantastic report came from. What was he on in the 60s?
He wrote this big report, and he published it in, I think it's in the Ohio Folklore Journal or something from back then. pretty interesting. What about Moonville Tunnel? Have you been there?
Never been there. I have no interest in it.
Really? Okay.
Nope.
You could play him with Elmer and see what happens.
It's kind of it is plain creepy and
huge. The one thing about Moonville Tunnel, when we walked up, I was just blown away. This is why I talk about people like, you know, going to these areas. You know, you're not likely going to see a demon coming with his pitchfork, but you can appreciate the tapestry, let's say. When we walked up to this tunnel was absolutely gigantic. It was huge.
Well, yeah, from a historical perspective,
wow,
I have to say this thing did strike home.
Oh,
I mean,
I walked up, it blew me away. I walked up to that, and I was like, this tunnel is gigantic, and I can appreciate that. I enjoyed being there for that aspect alone.
And then, of course, Will's shoulder got cold.
Yeah, and then that,
we took measurements.
That was kind of interesting.
We wrote
it
down, so.
What else we have for Dr. Ken?
Well,
quizzing the poor guy.
Ooh, have you? All right, here's another Ohio one that we laughed at for two years before we finally made it there. And this is Ohio. Then this is not quite in your area, but I've got to say, it is on Channel Land.
It's over by Dayton.
It's over by Dayton. Fudge Best White Human-like beast. I think we got silence out of Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
There is a legend. I don't know if it's a legend or if it's something made up. It's on Shadowlands, and it says Fudge Road. That's how it got fudge, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the Fudge Best White Human-like Beast. And on this road, there's supposed to be a dwarf home. So that's a home with everything made smaller for the less stature or the smaller of folks. What was the other? There's the house with the... It's completely razor wired off. The drug house, yeah, which is completely razor wired off. You can't.
I can explain those haunts right there. Jeez.
And then there's this beast that comes running after you. Now that sounds like a road I'd want to go visit. So we indeed did go visit, and sure enough, there is indeed the drug house, and there is indeed an interesting looking home.
Mm-hmm.
Whether things are you know scaled down or not, I couldn't really tell. But because we didn't go up and measure the doors or anything or how high the knobs were, but we, you know, there is an interesting looking house, but we did not see a human like beast. So would you investigate any legends like that, or are you? What do you usually investigate?
To me, like chasing urban legends is just a waste of time. You know, if you're gonna do something, you know, spend your time study something. You know, learn how something works, or just don't waste your time. I mean, if you're going to do that, take a picnic lunch with you.
Yeah,
well, I think we do.
Well, yeah,
especially with those kinds of legends.
Yeah, well, make a dig out of it or something.
Because those ones, the submarine race aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're interesting in their own right. But, yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier with Jim. I mean, that was one of the first things that came up was like, okay, we have these legends everywhere, and they all seem to have a lot of the same characteristics. Beep twice here, beep three times here, jump up and down, put your clothes on backwards, like you said, Doug.
Right.
There are a lot of these things. And when I start hearing that stuff nowadays, I'm like, oh, can we just go, let's just go to Denny's, you know?
Yeah, we might as well.
We'll get more out of going to Denny's, you know? I mean, this isn't really...
Everybody has a crybaby bridge, and everybody has Bloody Mary's grave, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which and they're all fascinating stories. I mean, I don't want people to think they're not interested here. But
studying the paranormal? Probably not.
You may be just studying fun stories.
It's 8:59.
Okay, yeah, we gotta go. Unfortunately, Dr. Kent.
Any last thoughts, Dr. Kent?
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it real. Keep it fun.
Yeah, that's how we say it, too. That's exactly what we think.
And I encourage everybody. We didn't get to talk about 90% of the stuff that you wrote. I have to say, www.ohiogHS.net.
Yeah, check out their website.
Check out the website. Email Dr. Ken any questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Things like that. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the video...
Send Dr. Ken some feedback.
That really did... cause the hairs on the back of my neck to stand up and stuff like that. And that doesn't happen very often anymore. So
definitely.
So it was a treat. Thank you so much, Dr. Ken. We have to make way, though, because Full Moon Radio comes up next. Yep, Full Moon Radio comes up next.
Dr. Ken, hang on the line for 1 second, Dr. Ken, okay?
All right.
Yeah, guys, thanks again. These shows have just been getting more and more intense. We're working hard, but I think there's a lot of really interesting information coming out besides, we went and took a picture here and we got this thing on film. There's some real thought going in, and there's some people we're bringing out here that are really putting some thought into this sort of thing. I think that's really important.
I know
it is.
So,
yeah, we'd like to thank Elmer for coming on the show. We'd like to thank Dr. James Huron for coming on the show and schooling us. That was like an hour. We had a break.
Yeah, I know.
It was amazing. You know, there are some things that were said tonight. I mean, like the last few weeks, I think it may have really ruffled the feathers of a lot of people. Take it for what it is and learn from it.
That's what I want people to do.
Healthy debate's cool. I mean, I like to hear all types of different viewpoints, but I think some people are just going to shut down and go, oh, you're totally wrong. You're close-minded, and then we'll have the debate, and then we'll have the fight. I don't want to be fighting.
That'll be great.
I'd like to thank Dr. Ken for coming on the show also.
Definitely, and thanks
for having me.
Yeah.
Excellent. And thanks to all the affiliates, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Yes.
We're going to make way for Full Moon Radio. We'll be back on the air next Sunday from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, happy ghost hunting.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Only the corrupt I listen to now.
Hey.
I need to go someplace where a man can.